Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 13. We are recording on Wednesday, 20 July. And for once, I am joined by my co-host, Shahan, off a Ruse win. How are you going?
Hey, Shahan. Yeah, good. Just finally finished watching the replay for the fifth time. No, I'm just kidding. But no, yeah, really good to have a win. I think came close last week against Pies, but to, hold on. And, after some inaccuracy from the Tigers, I think it was well-deserved for Lee Adams and everyone at the club.
Yeah, 100%. So you'll talk about the game review shortly, but is there any news about the Roos hunt for a coach a week on?
Yeah, so I think today, Wednesday, their board's meeting. I just saw on the news earlier. Looks like they're going to prioritize getting Clarkson. He's asking price, according to Tom Brown, $1.6 million. So I think that's a big chunk out of your
soft cap.
Salary cap. Yeah, soft cap.
It's gone up a touch, though, compared to the last years, but not enough, probably. But
I mean, if you're going to get an experienced coach, you're probably looking at about $1 million anyway. So for Clarko, is it that much? So the only bad side is you need people around him, so it's just whether they can fit all those people around him as well as Clarkson for that asking price. But no, I think I'm happy with the club identifying Clarkson and then going hard. The other option I wouldn't mind is if you're gonna go untried, then have like an experienced head of coaching or something like that.
Yeah. So you mentioned the other topic is the priority picks. I read the other day the Rooza, whether it's developing a bid or formalising that bid to the AFL. So do you think that's going to be successful, despite your Twitter, your critics on Twitter?
Yeah, I think you and me both have been getting passionate about two different topics off late on Twitter. And that's what it is, right? Passion and trying to argue our case. And firstly, I think we might come off as a bit aggressive and maybe sarcastic in my from my tweeting. I mean, but I think we're both rational, pretty logical people. So what we're saying, it's not ridiculous. Before you sort of explain yourself, I might talk about that. So it's just people have short memories or just don't remember all the priority picks in the past. So. Not all supporters of clubs. It's mainly the Collingwood, Hawthorn that who have received these Carltons that I'm more annoyed at than like say Port Adelaide or like Adelaide. Who else hasn't had a priority pick? Like even Essendon really haven't had much. I think the narrative. It's just the narrative of the media and supporters. I think like it's self-inflicted, which all lowly teams are self-inflicted to an extent. And deserving of one. I think, if you're going to be down at the bottom for 3, 4, 5 years, and I think you're sort of entitled to have some AFL support, especially because that mechanism is still there. It's not like if you're not going to give it to a list, a club that had a record loss this year, like 14 straight by 47, average of 10 goals, worst team since Fitzroy, like according to not the club internally, but according to external parties. And if you're not going to give a priority pick to that sort of team, then there's no point having that concept, in my opinion. So, even though, Sonia Hood did say we have a great list and we got up against Richmond and showed something the week before, the facts are we're 18 or something, 17, whatever it is, and a percentage of like close to 50%. So I think when the club puts its official application it. Hopefully they mention everything and looks at the facts, quantifiable data rather than list potential. What do you think of that? Like, has priority picks ever been rewarded or like not rewarded based on potential? Like, I know a few teams made applications in the past, like recent past. Include Melbourne maybe like 8-9 years ago now, but they weren't successful. I can't remember if AFL looked at who they had on their list or not, but even Carlton received some sort of priority in 2018. So I think looking at potential of players and just some assuming what they might become is a bit dangerous. I'd rather have the AFL look at solid facts and numbers and data to back up to judge if a team deserves a priority pick. What's your sort of little summary?
Yeah, I think, look, if any team has deserved a priority pick, probably in the last decade, it's probably the Suns of a few years ago when they got Anderson plus Rail. And then that, I think the back of the first round in which they, I think, had to trade. Excuse me. And then, the Roos. Is 2-15, more than 10 matches in a row with, 47-point losses or more. Which is a record percentage similar to Fitzroy in the last year of their existence. So I think if you're denied a priority pick, I don't think any team ever should get one again. I wouldn't, like I've said before, I don't think it should be pick one and two just because teams previous had that. I think it should be back of first rounder. And like we talked about, another package next year as well. It can't just be a one-year solution to, the Roos. It's got to be probably two, maybe three, but at least 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Like, I understand our list. I don't think, I sort of agree with Sonia Hood in that it's maybe not great, but it could be great. Like, they've got a lot of young players, but any supporter, regardless of any team, like, if the club had this record and terrible, like, last and latter 50%, would be, of course, would I apply for a priority pick. I'm not going to say no. Where it is, like, one might be a bit high, but if it was anything less than one, I think then it has to be a package. But in saying that, Gold Coast record for the last 3 years, I guess they lost a few players. But again, you can make the argument, is that self-inflicted? Maybe they should have picked, players. Maybe they should have had a better culture to retain this. Look at Brisbane now, like teams like that, and even Sydney, like they're not AFL footballing states, and they tend to retain most of their talent. But our record, like stacks up it's comparable to Gold Coast, and they've got a big package. So I think we'd actually, I know AFL's not going to sort of mirror that, but even if it's 50% of that, I'd want something like that. We'll see how it goes. So, because if the AFL only uses us pick 19, I might as well not take. But the one pick at the end of the first round isn't going to make any difference.
No, it's got to be multiple years, in my opinion, anyway.
And so you're debating was surrounding Ken Hinckley.
Yeah, so I think I've said this many times on Twitter. I think, look, if Clarkson or Ross Lyon walk through that door, then, Ken should go and you pick one of them because they're clearly more successful and more qualified candidates. However, there are a lot of Port fans or fans with inverted commas that are threatening to not renew their membership if Ken stays on next year, which is not a real supporter. Supporters support the club regardless of whether they're winning flags or choking in finals or winning wooden spoons. The second point of it is, I think, all this Ken vitriol is short memories. They don't remember where the club was when Ken took over, pretty much on the brink of collapse, losing all the players. Back end of 2018, with his job on the line, he had finals triggers to keep his job. He went to the draft, sacrificed, Wingard, Trengove, Pollock, players that would win short term for the long term benefit of the club. Now, like I've said, he doesn't deserve full credit for that. The recruiting staff deserve credit too. Ken Hinckley, Keith Thomas, Boak re-signing, Trengo re-signing, Ebert coming in. A lot of factors. But I think the issue I have with them is they give him all the blame, but none of the credit. So you can't have it both ways. Even on the weekend, they're saying Ken out. He didn't coach the team on the weekend. So if that's the case, then Bassett should go. So that's my issue. Threatening to tear up your membership if the club doesn't, like, he's contracted for next year too, by the way. So I think they forget that. And, that's not a real support. You don't hold the club to ransom and say, I'm going to throw up my membership if you don't sign a, re-sign the coach or sack a coach. That's not how supporters should act. And I've said, look, all those supporters should go. And I think that there's about 10,000 of them apparently. So it looks like our membership will be 50 instead of 60K next year. So.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, from a Kangaroo supporter, like if Ken was on the market, he'd definitely be in that Clarkson Lion mix, I reckon.
The rung under, he wouldn't be on the same rung as them, but he'd be on the same rung as, you know, a Leon Cameron or a Bucks.
He'd be a bit higher than them. He'd probably be in between them, I reckon. Okay. I reckon, yeah, he's got the runs on the board. Like, he seems, the players seem to play for him. He's been successful. He's made a few prelims, got really close. So he can coach.
And we haven't bottomed out as well. If we kept up the 0-5 star, I'd be the first one to say he should walk. But yeah, we're playing for him. I know we've lost four games since the 0-5 start, but we've lost to the four best teams in the comp. We're not a top four team. But yeah, that's my feelings on that. So we'll continue the banter on Twitter with our Twitter rivals.
Yeah, we'll see. I think one of my ones dropped off, so I think I won that.
love the persistence. So we move on to the game review, and it's one of the best game review you would have had this season.
Yeah, it is. So I think, yeah, like I said before, it's, I think Ily Adams called it, like, pressure valves being the lead. So, it's a great win, great to hang on. A bit of deja vu for the Tigers. Like, a couple of years ago, we sacked Scott Scott left, Reece Shaw took over, and yeah, we were able to win that after a dominant game by Cam Zerha, and he did it again. The main things I reckon is that we beat them in contested possessions, used our East handball a bit more. That overlap run from behind, getting the ball forward was there. Like previously, we sort of chip it around the back line. It was slow ball movement. So yeah, there's a bit more of a tendency to take the game on, and we've been all right in stoppages for most of the year, but took it to another level pretty much this game, especially the stoppages. Overall clearances, we won 43-32, but it was sort of those ball ups and throw ins that Davis Uniacke, Jai, even Greenwood were able to get on the move and sort of break away. So when Cunningham comes back, it might be stronger on ball brigade, and especially after you get some games into the younger guys. And tackling also has improved the last month or so. So 62 tackles again with Lockie Young with 8.
You mentioned the ruck division and I guess who should be playing. How did the Coleman Jones and Goldstein combination go?
Whether it was because we were winning and changed the coach, maybe that's got something to do with it, but yeah, I thought Coleman Jones and Goldie combination worked better than the Cherry and Goldie. So Coleman Jones, he just gets a bit more of the ball around the ground. So 18 touches, and he should have kicked that goal at the end as well. And yeah, Goldie was playing pretty much first ruck. But in saying that, Kyle Coleman Jones had a pretty, he was pretty much on the ground for most of the game. So whether that's Lee Adams wanting him to be on the ground more or just rotations, not really sure. But Goldie was amazing, especially with that last hit out to Zerha. I reckon he should stay on. I reckon the club should give him another 1 year. The way he's going, I think he can play for sure. If he wants a bit more, maybe have a trigger in there, because he doesn't get injured, and if he's still running out games, then shouldn't really look at age too much. Especially because, like, guys like Mundy, I think Mundy turned 37 yesterday.
So. He's still playing well. And Horn Francis, how did he go in his return?
He was okay. He was a little bit quiet. He had patches. Took the game on a couple of times, and he got a bit of a knock when he ran into Big Nank. So, sore ribs. But I thought Paul Curtis was our best young player. Yes, 3 goals, a couple of really clean contested marks. And also the midfield is becoming pretty consistent with Jai's best game for the year, and Davis Uniacke had 28 again. So he's becoming, yeah, that player that we expect him to be. And he had an interview this week, and he said that he had to ask the coach, Noble at the time, to play more midfield because he was getting rotated forward too much. And I found this staggering because we didn't have many midfielders to go through there side of the year anyway. No Anderson and no Cunnington, no Phillips. So I have no idea what Noble was doing. Maybe other guys who weren't, which shouldn't have been there, were going through there. But yeah, after the bye, Davies Jr. has been one of the informed midfielders in the comp.
Yeah.
Yeah, just quickly, a couple of other unheralded players. Bailey Scott, I think, played his best game for the Roos, 50th game as well, and led that important tackle on Arts at the end. And Phoenix Spicer had a really good game as well, I thought, considering he's only played four games with three or four goal assists, and he was just very clean and very fast.
And Zerhaus, who was he matched up on? Was it Grimes?
Yeah, I think Grimes had him for a bit. I think Miller had him for a bit, maybe. But yeah, I reckon he was awesome. He's five disposals, five kicks, five goals in the first half. Yeah, slowed down a bit. just kicked the one after that. But yeah, I reckon he plays more forward than mid. Yeah.
And Steve, he was obviously in the wars with the media last week. How did he respond?
Yeah, a bit of a whipping boy. But yeah, he took a lot of the kick-ins, played pretty much forward, and yeah, they hit a lot of points, right? So he was definitely getting a bit of the ball from playing on. But yeah, he used it really well, I thought. 87% disposal efficiency. I was nervous a couple of times when he had it, but he generally made the right decision and gave us some creativity and run off half back, and even got forward to kick a nice goal as well.
And Sonia Hood, you mentioned her. The great list comment. Do you think that's closer to the truth or the worst list since Fitzroy?
Yeah, well, similar to what I was saying earlier, I think so. Probably in between. I mean, like I said, it's not a great list at the moment. It's got the potential to be great. But where it is right now, I think we need a few more players in that middle band. But in 3-4 years, those players, these young players, will become that middle band. So if we just get another early pick and blood a couple of high-end talent to come through with these guys, it would be good. By end of the day, the Tigers probably should have won that game. They kicked 22 points. So kick a couple of those and we'll be on the streak. Losing streak is continuing. So they still had, what is it? We only had 9 marks inside 50. Tigers had 17. So a lot of work to be done with our forward entries and structure. But yeah, there's quite a few holes there. So I don't think it's not going to get better overnight. But yeah, some assistance and development will go a long way.
Move on to the Port Melbourne game review. So we defeated 83-69. Biggest game of the season, especially after the losses by the Tigers and the Saints, opened the door a bit for a top 8 spot. Started really fast with the first 3 goals. Melbourne only kicked their first goal in the second quarter. But yeah, 7 straight goals by the D's from the late third quarter to the early fourth won them the match. Similar trend, conceded, I think, 5 goal runs to Geelong, Richmond, Freo, and now Melbourne. So that's our 4 losses since the 0-5 start.
Mm-hmm. There was a few 6 goal kickers this round. Zerha, Bruce, and Pickett was the other one. And he sort of torched you guys a bit.
Yeah, I flagged it in the game review too, preview last week. So the worry was a bit justified. And he was really on combination of Burton, Bonner. But I think the worrying sign was all of his goals. He had so much space. There wasn't a guy, you know, goal side or on him, which is really disappointing because, like, without Pickett, we win the match. We won all the, you know, contested ball clearances. We won clearances by 13. So Dixon and Filasen won that ruck battle. So maybe Dixon's found a role as the number one ruck because he offers a lot more around the ground, and I don't think Finlayson is the number one. He's probably a number two. Really need probably Georgiades to stand up because Marshall definitely has. And then you can, you know, let the two young bucks run the forward line with, you know, Dixon, you know, a bit of pinch hitting.
Yeah, that's interesting. So where does that leave Lysette just quickly?
Yeah, so he's been out for about 4 months with the shoulder, had an infection, so he's probably out. I think it's TBC on the injury list at the moment. So it's a good question. I don't think you can play Lysette, Dixon and Finlayson, but he's nearing the end, and I mean, Dixon's close to 30 as well. So I don't think we've found the answer just yet. Like, there's Teakle in the wings as well, and I think Sam Hayes will probably be in the trade table at the end of the season anyway. But I think we might have found something with Dixon, and definitely Finlayson too. Like, his around the groundwork is, yeah, way more impressive than I thought when we initially recruited him.
And who else stood out for you for Port?
Yeah, so the obvious one was Rosie. So I think he's had about a 12-week purple patch at the moment, especially the last probably 4 to 6 weeks. Game high 33 touches, outside 50 goal, 6 inside 50, 6 score involvements, 5 intercepts and 4 clearances. So, yeah, might be more of a chance for the All-Australian squad or team than I thought a month ago. Both hit the scoreboard too with 2 goals and 29 touches, and Bergman was really impressive with 2 goals. And I think he's, like I said before, he's definitely a best 22 member when he's up and running.
And those who's to disappoint you?
Yeah, so Sam Paupepa, 0 goals, 3, I think all from snap. So been really impressive this season, but costly on the weekend. Bonner was outclassed by Pickett and, few fumbling mistakes and probably shouldn't have been rushed in. And Cleary was beaten by Ben Brown as well, which is disappointing. And Marshall was subbed off very late, but he's not on the injury list. He's probably our most valuable player for the next 5 weeks anyway.
Mm-hmm. And just quickly on the Demons?
Yes, Petrarca was the best midfielder on the day in Oliver's absence. Game-high clearances, high score involvements, high inside 50s, high intercepts. And bottom six players, Jordan and Harms, are really impressive as well. Really stood up in Oliver's absence as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So, no more finals, right?
I think that's done. We need to win 5 out of 5 to get to 13, and even then, there's no guarantees with our percentage. So, look to next season now, but hopefully we don't bottom out. We'll move on to the game preview, and North Melbourne are playing Hawthorn in Tassie.
Yeah, it's North Melbourne home game, so it's going to be Blunt Arena in Hobart. And I heard that this is the first time Kangaroos and Hawthorn play in Hobart. We've played them in Tassie 8 times, and they've all been Hawthorn home games at Launceston. So it's going to be the first time Hawthorn playing in this ground, so that should give us an advantage. And in terms of team changes, I think Larky might be out. He's got a little bit of a heel injury. In the last game, and got subbed out. So apparently he's more unlucky than likely. And Horn Francis hurt his rib, so we'll see if he gets up. But the ins, Paul, he's going to come back in, I think. He's recovered from his injury. If there's 2 changes, maybe Perez might get dropped, but I think no one really deserves to get dropped after that win. Lazaro, and when he came on as a sub, he had a couple of scoring shots, one hit the post, so wouldn't mind him getting a full game, but again, don't know who to leave out. Jack Marnie had a really good game in the VFL for 22 possessions, 1 goal, 5 marks, 4 tackles, and some clearances, so he's shown he can play at the level, so wouldn't mind him coming back in, and Matt McGuinness is the other one. 15 disposals could come in. But at the moment, I'll resist making too many changes. If Lucky does go out, maybe Coleman Jones just plays that key forward and Goldie does more of the ruck. So I'd rather go for that setup than bring in sort of Josh Walker, that is, and have Cam Zerha play that sort of second door. And you got Jack Zibu there as well, who can mark. It'd be an interesting game. I think Bruce is a match winner, so Bonner maybe goes to him, tries to lock him down. Dylan Moore's been amazing, has had a breakout season. for the Hawks, so I'm trying to lock him down because he normally kicks a couple of goals and gets a lot of the ball. So maybe Bailey Scott can tag him. No wing guard, which is good. He usually kills us. And Jack Gunston, he might come back in. I reckon if he comes back in and Larky's out, I tip Hawthorn. But if Larky plays and there's no Gunston, a lean towards us. It's going to be an even game. Hawthorn, they want two in a row. Still a young team, so they might drop this one. But then again, after a win, like the Roos had, maybe that takes a lot of energy as well. So it could be friends having a down day.
I think the first time you're tipping the Roos since Eagles match.
Yeah, pending. I think I will tip them, but it depends on the team.
Okay, you put a good proviso in there. So Port Adelaide is hosting Geelong at Adelaide Oval. Like I said before, we need to win every match to even have a slight chance, and Cats are the best team in it. So Marshall if fit versus probably the most improved player in the comp, DeConey, which would be a great matchup to see. And Marshall's biggest test to date. Stewart's out for one more week, but got to stop Henry and Guthrie intercepting in the air. Most flexible play in the comp, Blitzars, might get sent to Rosie, if not Wines. It's a really good test for either of those guys in the midfield. Butters, Amon and Farrell really got to step up because Atkins, Smith and Duncan are, more than just, second, third bananas. They're having, elite seasons. And Cleary versus Hawkins is the big matchup for us. Can he beat Hawkins twice in one season? Beat Hawkins at the Cattery probably 2 months ago now. And Cameron is the danger matchup. Aaliyah, I think, Scott outclassed and beaten the last two occasions. So I think he's got to sacrifice his intercepting game to stop him because you can't just let Cameron roam free. And he's the only defender with the athleticism to match him. I think in terms of team changes, Jace Burgoyne comes straight back in for Bonner. Bonner deserves a spell after last week's performance. I think he goes to Stengel. Burton to Rowan, Jonas when Danger's up forward. And I think Wines versus Danger in the midfield. And, Dixon and Finlayson, I think, can get some advantage versus Stanley and Blitzars if they can beat Gorn and Jackson. I think they can beat the Cats' ruck. So, chance, I'll tip Port as always. But, it's going to be a huge, huge test.
This one has upset written all over it. You guys smashed them in the final, right? Is that right?
The last two seasons we've beaten them in the final,
Like comprehensive.
Last year, yes. The year before, more close.
Yeah, I think that's enough for me to tip. I think there's a reason. You guys have done that. You match up well against them. And also, Geelong's been up for a long time. I think 8 weeks straight or something. So now I think I'll back you guys in. Your tools nullify the tools, and maybe some of the young Cats will have a little bit of a down day. Because then I reckon they need the whole list playing well, which they normally do have.
Yeah, and that leads on to the tipping. So I'm not happy you're tipping the same as me because you are 8 ahead of me now, extended your lead by 5 points. I had a shocker.
If you tip with your brain, you would be winning.
I'm tipping tough. I'll stop with that now. I think I've learned my lesson. So the round starts with Richmond hosting Fremantle at Marvel. I've got Fremantle. I think they're just too good for Richmond at the moment. Richmond's probably a bottom rung of the top 8 team, and Freo's probably closer to 5th or 6th.
That's a hard one. I don't know. I can trust them a bit more than I have in the past, but not as much. But I still think they'll get the job done without Martin and Lynch.
And I think Lambert's still out too, and he's a big loss for them. Saturday, North Melbourne versus Hawthorn at Bludstone. I've got the Hawks. I think their midfield group is a bit more even now with Ward and Newcomb running through there.
Yeah, I reckon, like I said, depending on the teams, but I'll say North Melbourne. And Paul Curtis could have had the rising star if it wasn't for that game by Ward.
Yeah, dominant performance, that one. So hopefully Curtis gets in on this week. We've got Sydney hosting Adelaide at the SCG. I've got Sydney, and bit of a question for Longmuir. If, yeah, Kennedy comes straight back in with, you know, Warner's emergence and all their young bucks dominating at the moment.
Was that a question to me?
Yeah, do you think he comes back in, Kennedy?
Yeah, I think he does. I think just experience leadership. Maybe probably off, maybe forward or back. I think he can play forward as well, maybe. Pretty tall, pretty versatile, I think. Yeah, and Warner's been a gun, hasn't he? Chad Warner.
Yeah.
I didn't give my tip, but I reckon, yeah, Sydney.
It's a poor host in Geelong at Adelaide Oval. I've got Port.
Yeah, I'll go Port.
And yeah. Had their night, Brisbane versus Gold Coast at the Gabba. I've got Brisbane. I don't think they have an answer for Charlie Cameron with all their you know, small backs out with injury at the moment.
Yeah, disappointed by the Gold Coast. I know they're still young and developing, but should have probably done better against Essendon. They had a all right first quarter, but then yeah, didn't get a goal or keep one goal or something, I think. And yeah, disappointed I haven't watched too many Brisbane games. I think Hugh McCluggage had a amazing game, right? 4 goals, 2 touches off the wing. So, yeah, should watch the highlights.
Grand final rematch, Bulldogs versus Melbourne at Marvel. I've got Melbourne. Pickett Storm is pretty ominous, and Oliver might be out, but I think their midfield is to withstand that.
Yeah, me too, Melbourne, for this. I think, yeah, best of Bulldogs is a bit too inconsistent, and yeah, even the game, the win against St Kilda wasn't super inspiring.
And Sunday, Carlton versus GWS at Marvel. I've got Carlton. I don't think GWS have an answer for McKay and Kerno, both of them.
Yeah, GWS, yeah, they're going to be around the bottom of the ladder for a few years, I reckon. So, yeah, Carlton should win this pretty easily.
Collingwood versus Essendon at the MCG. I've got an Essendon upset here. I'll keep tipping against the Pies until they lose. I think they're going for 9 straight, which I think only premiership or grand final teams really do during the season. So, yeah, absolute outstanding year so far.
Yeah, I reckon I'd go for Essendon as well. I think they're pretty playing with a lot of freedom and a lot of confidence. So, yeah, 9 in a row would be amazing if Pies do get up. But, We'll go for the Don.
And West Coast versus St Kilda at Optus. I've got the Saints. They'll have a typical bounce back after a bad loss. And Eagles just, yeah, don't know where they are at the moment. I think the oldest list in the comp, or maybe the second or third and second bottom.
Yeah, I think I'll go for West Coast. I think they can pull one out. I think they were showing some good signs a few weeks ago, but hasn't happened. But yeah, this week could be the week they just turn on a couple of good quarters and they do enough.
Yeah, you have an ulterior motive there because, yeah, I think 3% behind and even with points for West Coast for the number one pick.
That too. I know we get the wooden spoon with the number one pick, but I'd rather pick one than pick two.
Enough. So we'll end it then. Hopefully we have both of our teams have wins next week instead of just the one.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Catch you, guys.